May we be by him and with him and in him in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You have a right to remain silent. Have you heard that? Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an advocate. In fact, one has already been appointed for you and for all of us. That would be Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate, as we call him. We have an advocate with the Father, we say. Now, to hear how that works, listen to the words of today's gospel lesson. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. We not only have one who speaks for us, he prays for us. Jesus makes it very clear that he's speaking not just in that moment of time, but in our time, for us. We are the ones who've learned from the apostles and believed without having seen, which Jesus says is even better than seeing and believing. We come highly recommended. Where can you ever get a letter of recommendation like this one? This makes us heirs, co-creators, intimate friends with God, because Jesus has connected us. Jesus prays for me. Wow. Now, you and I have occasion to pray for each other. Some of you have asked me to join you in praying for certain issues in your life, and I've certainly stood in the need of and asked for your prayers often. It can be a reciprocal activity, except, of course, that I get my name read almost every Sunday, and you have to get sick or have a birthday to get yours read. Not fair, I know. So the next time you're having low self-esteem day and standing in the need of prayer, remember who your prayer partner is. Jesus prays for you. Now, you could reasonably expect your deacon to talk about prayer, just as you can expect some words about mission. It's my job to bid you to pray. And prayer and mission are as closely connected as Jesus to the Father and us to Jesus. I don't suppose we can say it's impossible to have mission without prayer. I mean, I guess we could, but then it wouldn't really be mission, would it? It would be volunteerism or something. Many people, out of kindness or morality, reach out to help others. We've seen in disasters that what seems to be an almost universal response in trouble is to help if we possibly can. But mission's different. It's intentional. It follows in the footsteps of Jesus, doing as he did during his ministry. It's a fulfillment of that directive we've been talking about, to love one another. Mission helps us in a material way and spreads the good news of God's love for us. Mission has a message. Mission has a message. Now, we don't have to preach through all our good works, but we do have to witness. We have upcoming mission trips. We're very excited about those. We're eager. We're planning. People are packing. We need to remember that these upcoming mission travels are not secular field trips. Neither are they tourism. We can expect interconnectedness between the helped and the helper, among the co-workers, and that they will feel themselves drawn closer to God. That's where that mission high, as I call it, comes from. That feeling of satisfaction and joy we feel as we leave, tired after a day of work on someone else's behalf and in Christ's name. I think we probably could say that it's impossible to have prayer without mission. That's where mission is born, after all. Even the most cloistered of monastic groups will quickly tell you that they don't consider themselves isolated and cut off from the world. In fact, their vocation to prayer is what keeps them constantly connected. Prayer is the language of mission. Prayer is the language of mission. And Jesus prays for us. Now, you may notice that now that the 50 days after the resurrection are ending, the gospel lessons are beginning to get a bit cryptic. This morning's gospel, how did you like it? By and with and in and through. And in addition, we're moving in our readings beyond the ministry and daily events of Jesus' life and getting ourselves into some deep water of mysterious things that challenge our itty-bitty brains. Easter came. He arose. Now it's different. We're in a completely different domain. Jesus is neither here nor there. He's to be glorified, but has not yet been glorified. He starts to do things beyond our experiences. He's not recognizable even by people who believe in him. He appears out of nowhere, you never know when. He seems to do spooky things like walk through walls into locked rooms. This week we saw the Ascension. Next week we'll celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then there's that Sunday when we get to hear about the history of how man has tried to explain the nature of God in our own limited language with a triangle. The triune God. This week we observe the event of Jesus' ascension. Let's think about the ascension for a moment. Did you do that? He finally leaves to be glorified. Do you have a lot of deep thoughts about that? Or maybe just an image, like I do. I'll tell you where I got mine. When I was about 8, I had a playmate who lived down the street, and his name was Benny. And Benny went to Catholic school. And his teacher wore these long black dresses with veils and everything. And he explained Roman Catholicism to me one morning in his 8-year-old way. And I'll have to admit that it did sound as if they did some pretty interesting stuff down at his church. The sisters, as they were called, encouraged the students to draw what were called holy pictures. That was pretty much anything from the Bible. So we got out our crayons, and he was going to show me how to do this. Now, I wasn't a particularly good artist, but I did fine with the Sea of Galilee and boats, and even the apostles drew them from the back a lot. But I had a really hard time with the face of Jesus. You know, I just couldn't get it right. And I was sure I was the first person ever to have that problem. And then I remembered the Ascension. I mean, after all, I went to what we call Sunday school. All I had to do was draw my scene, then go to the top of the page and draw 10 little toes and 2 feet, put some sandals on it, and voila, the Ascension. And I was totally satisfied that Jesus was on his way to God the Father, having been beamed up or whatever. And I think I understood that that was a good thing for us, even though we sure did hate to see him go. He was in the Father, and we were in him. I got it. That simple connectedness Jesus gives us, I in him and I in you and us in them, Jesus in the Father, pulling us along. If the limits of the rational ever fail us, we can always know we have an advocate. Jesus prays for us. Now, the day of Pentecost is coming. Picnic, we're red. We can imagine the table of apostles, perhaps, sitting in discouraged discussion. We've been in that meeting. Maybe even see ourselves there. When suddenly the balance is tipped and enthusiasm starts to appear. We may not have had flames over our heads, but we have experienced a moment of charisma or epiphany. We've seen radical change in people. Someone gets an idea for ministry. They're on fire with excitement. You couldn't stop them. People begin to tell their faith story. The word spreads like wildfire, and people say, "What's happening at Emmanuel?" And somebody says, "Oh, it's that Mission High thing. They've been praying again." Soon we will observe Trinity Sunday. The doctrine of the Trinity is one of the church's favorite arguments. On and on through the centuries, the church has wrestled with the very nature of God, and we've satisfied our limited minds with a simple triangle. Now, according to today's gospel, I think there's a possibility that that icon might just have been a kite ascending into the sky. And we're the tail of the kite. Hold on tight. Becoming at one with God supposes that we're more and more each day becoming at one with each other. by doing for each other what Jesus has done for us. Pray for those whose names are read. Add petitions your own. Do this so that others can be in you and thus in Christ who is in the Father. Just as Jesus generously and lovingly links himself with his disciples, so we can do the same thing for each other, for the newcomer, for the stranger at our gates, for those we've never even met. Let's come closer to each other, snuggle up, be by him and with him and in him in the unity of the Holy Spirit. May all honor and glory be his, now and forever. Amen. Amen.